take our Bible text and bring the message that the Lord has given me for this Lord's Day morning, March the 2nd, 2008. You know, I've read a lot of books. I don't mean to boast, but I've read a number of books. And I read a couple of books by Robert Murray McShane. They're just little short messages that he brought in his ministry. And some of the old-timers, including Spurgeon, even in Spurgeon's writing, they had always put at the top of their message, preached on Lord's Day morning, such and such a date. And I did that a lot through the Psalms and through the Song of Solomon. And I've quit doing that. I might ought to pick it back up. The world stands after I'm gone. Somebody may come along one day and say, "Hall, preach this on Lord's Day morning, such and such a date." And besides that, it helps me if I ever want to give a rerun. I know when the last time I give it. Amen. Amen. But this is not a rerun. About all of mine are reruns. I feel like I'm on in about 1 year. And it seems like I'm stuck there and can't seem to get out of it. 1 John chapter number 2 again this morning. 1 John chapter number 2. Now, I want you to be praying. I am starting to study some out of the book of Hosea. And I don't know, tackling it may be more than I can do. I don't know. It's a tremendous book of prophecy, but I'm going to try to tackle it. I believe that's God's will for my life. And then probably the book of Jude as well. I started that one time and dropped it. I'll probably go back to the very beginning, pick it up, and preach all the way. And the reason of Jude is because of the time we're living in. We're living in the day of these apostates that John is writing about here in 1 John chapter number 2. And those days of Jude's writing and these days are upon us. And I marvel at how so many of the books in the last part of the Bible, 2 Peter, Jude, 1 John, Revelation, how they all speak about these apostates in the last days. I marvel at that. And the Bible is correct. There's not a mistake in it. And I believe the Lord, they're not necessarily, the books are not necessarily placed here in their chronological order, the way that they, actually the time that they were preached in. But I believe God put them in this Bible and canonized them in a way that pleases Him for His purpose. And God's made no mistakes, not one. All right, 1 John chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading again today in verse number 18. The Bible said, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." I just saw something there I'd never seen before. When he said many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time, he said, what he's saying is that in the last time, they're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And that we know it's the last time because there's many of them already out there. And that'll work. That'll preach. And then he said in verse number 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt can have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction." Woo! Thank God for that. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, I don't know if I'll ever get into that part of that verse, but that's a tremendous thought. He that denieth the Father and the Son. And there are those today that deny the Father. They don't deny the Son, and they don't deny the Holy Spirit, but they do deny the Father in their doctrine, they do. And I say that lovingly, the best way I know how. Amen. I could say it very sharply, but I say it lovingly. I feel sweet this morning. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being in church today. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, the good singing, the good fellowship, the good spirit. I pray that you will bless me and help me, Lord, to understand the Scripture this morning in a clearer way that I may present it to your people. May the Spirit of God, as I preach, move upon my heart, direct my thoughts and my mind, and help me, Lord, with clarity. And help me, I pray, Lord, with power and unction. I pray you'll grant liberty and help your people to grasp what's being preached this morning. Tuck it away in their heart, that they may grow thereby, that they might come to an understanding, that they truly might understand this unction, Lord, this anointing that they have, that you've given them, that's come from the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Himself. I pray you'll bless the text to every heart, that you'll regenerate the lost and the dying, and revive and bless and help, strengthen the people of God. I pray for that help now that I need in this hour, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want us to look at the last statement that's made in verse number 21. I'm going to be preaching from that part of verse 21 and verse number 22, where he said in the very last phrase there, and that no lie, John said, no lie is of the truth. So what he's saying is there's no gray area. No lie is of the truth. And then again, who is a liar? He talks about a lie, and then he talks about a liar. And that liar is he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. And so a man that denies that Jesus is the Messiah is a liar. And God's Word abides not in him. Now, don't chuckle at the message, at the title, but I want to preach this morning on liar, liar, pants on fire, is what I want to be preaching from this morning. John said there that no lie is of the truth. And who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now, I want to mention the connection that we find here between these verses and the ones that's already preceding it. There is a line of demarcation that John has drawn here between the apostates of verse 19 and the anointed ones. The apostates went out from us because they were not of us. Had they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they are not all of us. And he draws a perfect line of demarcation between them. In other words, he makes a distinction between those that are professors and those that are possessors. And that line is that they went out from us. But the other part of that line is, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing, and we are God's anointed ones, and we have an unction from that Holy One. Those who have an unction from the Holy One, the Bible said that they know all things, that they know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, I think the scope and the nature of that thought I mentioned in several times in previous messages. And what it amounts to is that they have a knowledge, of the saving and influential, of the saving grace of God and the influential understanding of the truth. Those that are the anointed ones have an understanding of the truth. They've got the Holy Spirit within them gives them that understanding, gives them that anointing, and they are quick to respond to a lie. It's like the Lord said in John chapter number 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and another they will not follow. They do that because they have an unction from Him. They understand His voice, and the shepherd's voice is very distinct from a false prophet. And he that is a false prophet, they will not follow. You just write that down in your little black book this morning. That those that have an unction from the Holy One, they know the truth. When they hear the truth, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that it is the truth. And we have an understanding of that. And a falsehood or an apostate a true born-again child of God will not follow. Now, there's a whole lot of folks that have led in and fled after false prophets. And not all false prophets are of different denominations. I'm satisfied that the independent Baptist movement is eaten up with false prophets, with those that have never been called of God. And they're smooth tongued. They can tell a lot of stories, but they never preach the Bible. They can make people feel good, but the Bible ought to make you feel good, but it sometimes ought to make you feel bad. It's like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, studying about the armor of God in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians has caused him to search his own heart. And at times it kind of busted him just a little bit. Now I'm telling you, the Bible preached in the right way will bust you every now and then. But thank God every now and then there is a healing balm that God, of oil that God knows how to pour in. And that healing balm is that unction that God has given us. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, the same person will never get mad at the truth. When my preacher, after I got saved, told me that smoking cigarettes was wrong, I didn't get mad at him. When they told me drinking liquor was wrong, I never got mad at them. When they began to tell me watching television was wrong, I never got mad at them. Because there was an unction there that testified to my own heart that they were proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. Now you may be guilty, but you will not get mad at the man of God if he hammers truth. Truth will help you and not hurt you if you will listen to it. It will make you free. Amen. Now you hang right with me as I find my place here. Let me say that they had a spiritual grasp on the gospel and the truth as explained in the Bible. I wrote down in my notes that the gospel grasped them, and then they grasped the gospel. May I say, once the gospel gets a hold of you, it's got a hold of you. And you'll get a hold of it if you're saved by the grace of God. Then you can say like the psalmist David, I am stuck on thy testimony. Thank God I shall not be moved. I am anchored in the word of truth. And my anchor holds in the word of truth. I shall not be removed. Thank God I can put on the armor of God and stand against all of the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, we can stand therefore. Because we have put on the armor of God, and part of that armor is truth. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I'm glad the gospel got a hold of me, but I'm glad I got a hold of it. You're not going to convince me that I got to speak in a foreign tongue to be saved. And you're not going to convince me I've got to be baptized to be saved. And you're not going to convince me I've got to pray a rosary or light a candle to be saved. I'm telling you, salvation is by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. I learned that a long time ago because that truth grasped my heart, and thank God I've been able to grasp it likewise. Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Now, when we're established in the great truths of the gospel, we shall know that no lie is of the truth, and shall therefore disregard, get a hold of this, the eloquence, the learning, the ingenuity, and the confidence of those that contradict the Bible. You know why you will? You will because you have experienced the truth. Amen. When I hear a man contradict the Bible, there's a bell goes off in my heart. And it does because I have experienced the truth. Amen. It's just like kissing Sister Hall. I experienced it one time, and now, amen. From then on, when them lips meet, bells goes off in my heart. Amen. When you experience something that's good, you're not about to leave it.
And when I experienced the gospel, may I put it this way, I had an encounter with God and an experience with grace, and it changed my life for all time and all eternity, and I'm not soon to be removed from what I've heard concerning the truth of the Word of God. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? I hope to God there's no deniers in here this morning. If there's deniers in here, you're a liar, liar, and your pants is on fire, because the Bible says so.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God.
Amen.
He spoke all. Yeah, Jesus is, but they sound like a bunch of billy goats. Amen. That's right. Now I'm not going to let, somebody contradict the Bible. We had a fellow used an eloquent speaker. I mean, he was quite an authority in the Bible. He was been on the radio station for years. And he come off with this thought in there. He said this, talked at one time, I caught him, and he's talking about women's apparel. And he said they got men's breeches and women's breeches. Said men's breeches got zippers in the front, women's got zippers on the sides. To me, breeches is breeches. I don't give a flip the zippers in the back. Amen. Then he came up with the idea. He said God will give all Gentiles a second opportunity to be saved during the tribulation period. I said, that's it. The truth that I'd learned did not agree with that. And it didn't, because the Bible said that God will send them a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie and will be damned. I tell you, don't ever think you're going into the tribulation period with another opportunity. If you've heard the gospel, buddy, you going there, you're headed for hell. As my uncle would say, as a ginger snap is for a nickel, buddy. You're headed for hell. That's right. Come on in the house now. There's an old saying. Now listen to this. There's an old saying that the line that shows itself to be straight shows also what line is crooked. You can stretch out two lines, one straight and one crooked, and it's not hard to tell which one of them is straight. And no lie, he says, is of the truth. You got a straight line and a crooked line. And that truth will tell you what the crooked line will tell you, the lie. What the crooked line is. Somebody say amen right there. Now, the various interpretations of the scriptures, I'm going to tell you, they don't pose any bit of problem for me whatsoever in the Bible. And they don't pose any problem for the Bible. The divine revelation that God has given us, now stay with me, I'll get to the message in a minute. The divine revelation that God has given us is inerrant and flawless. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Bible that's laying on this sacred desk is the infallible, inerrant, flawless Word of God? That God crossed every T and God, amen. I'm talking about to every jot and every tittle. That Bible is inerrant and flawless. There are no mistakes in the Bible.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. It is a divine revelation sent from God to man, from heaven to earth. Amen. In fact, He came to earth to fulfill it. Amen to God.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. A divine revelation. It's inerrant and it's flawless. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 42, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't live under the law. It's good.
Amen.
Without the law, I'd not know that I was a sinner. There's nothing wrong with the law of God, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, it needs to be preached a little bit more in our Baptist churches today. Because the law is what condemns a man, but thank God that's what makes grace efficacious in a man's life. When we know we're lost, we know we're sinners, we know we're going to hell, but grace divinely intervenes and God by His power lifts us out. Amen. A sinner will never get saved until they see themselves lost.
Amen.
Amen. You got to see yourself lost and undone and helpless and hopeless without God before you'll ever get in. That's what the law does, friend. The law condemns, but grace justifies. Hallelujah. Amen. Help me, Brother Jerome. The Bible said in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. Every word. And that no lie is of the truth. Every word of God is pure. Now I'm going to tell you, if we really believe that, we oughtn't to mistreat this Bible. And if preachers really believe that, they'd try to do a better job of rightly dividing the Bible. God knows we make enough mistakes when we pray and weep over what we're trying to preach. But I'm telling you, to go to the pulpit without really praying over what you're going to preach and try to rightly divide this book is a sin against the Holy God. Because that Bible is pure. Every word of that book is true. I'm telling you, when God said the man's going to heaven by grace, that's how he's going. When God said sinners are going to hell, they're going to hell. Yes, sir, buddy, just mark her down. If you're lost and without God, it's not a fact that someday you're going to head that way. You're already going in that direction. May God throw out a crossroad in your path this morning that'll steer you toward Calvary. Look up Calvary's mountain. Oh, yes, one dreadful morn. Walk Christ our Savior, weary and worn. And there on the cross, He gave His life for the souls of men. He became a sacrifice and a substitute that you and I might be saved. Amen. I'm telling you, that truth that day died for the liar that day, that a liar might be made righteous and might become truth in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, there's a divine declaration. Not only a divine revelation, but a divine declaration. He said, no lie is of the truth. He emphatically declares that. That no lie is of the truth. That is exactly right. And by the way, that should warn all preachers of their solemn duty to be diligent in preaching that which the Lord bids them to preach. I could tell you a story of a preacher that we all know, every one of us. And God told him, said, I want you to go preach in this particular place. But rather than going to that particular place, he ran from God. And in running from God, he wound up in the belly of a whale. His name was Jonah. And when the whale spit him out on dry land, God said, now go preach what I bid you to preach. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of preachers today that want to smooth things over. They don't want to rock the boat. Amen. They're looking for a raise. They're worried about their congregation running them off. I'm not a bit worried. Praise God. I'm telling you, I settled that a long time ago. I've come to serve the Lord and rightly divide this book and tell you the truth, because the truth will keep you out of hell, but a lie will let you go to hell off a bed in the church pew, as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. I'm not going to soothe your conscience and salve your conscience. Tell you how wonderful you are. There's none of us wonderful. And none of us worthy. We're sinners. Only saved by grace. Amen to God. That's why we ought to be shouting it out this morning. Thank God for grace. Marvelous grace. Abundant grace. God's mercy endureth unto all generations. God's mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah to God. God's mercy endureth for the prostitute, for the thief. Amen. For the drunkard. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Thank God. I'm telling you, God's mercy endures all of us. Now, stay right with me. The best way to be preserved from false doctrine. Now, this is deep. The best way to be preserved from false doctrine is to accept God's Word at face value. Amen. God said it. That's it. Amen. Well, I don't understand all of it. I don't either.
That's right.
I believe it.
Amen.
Somebody said, how can you believe what you don't understand? Because God said it.
Amen.
And there is no lie. So therefore, I've got to believe it whether I understand it or not.
Yeah.
Is it everybody listening now? Yeah. To believe all that the Lord has spoken. And you know what we want to do? We want to pick out the good parts.
Yeah.
That's how I know man didn't just write this book on his own.
Yeah.
He'd have put everything good in there. He'd have told us how good we are. Something good is going to happen to you today. I wonder if Brother Frazier heard that the other morning when he left the house, and somebody said, something good is going to happen to you today. About 2 hours later, somebody run over him out here in the road in front of the church. Something good really happened, didn't it? Something good going to happen to you. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Does it make God any less God if something bad happens to you? If something wrong happens to me? It don't make God any less God. He's still God, thank God. He is not just God. He is God. We say, well, He's just God. He's not just God. He is God. Amen. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be saved, and know that I'm God, for there is none else. Hallelujah to Him. Praise His wonderful. And the God that we know, we're not here by evolution. I didn't come from a tadpole. Praise God, I was created in the likeness and image of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's right. I won't live for Him. He said gambling's wrong. I think casino gambling's wrong. I think we're to get a petition and run Steve Beshear out of Hopkins County on a rail and out of Frankfort on two rails. I heard this morning in their little committee in the legislature, in the legislative body in Frankfort, they had a woman that opposed their casino gambling. Jody Richards run her off, brought in somebody that was for it. They voted it in. They're going to get it on a vote on the floor. Talking about backroom shenanigans. They talk about Republicans. That crowd over there in Frankfort is so crooked you have to screw them in the ground when they die. Amen. I'm against gambling. It'll rob you of your money. I'm against the lottery. It'll rob you of your money and put your children on skid row and in poverty and on welfare. Somebody say amen. Praise God, break up homes and break up families. Now I'm going to show you how this is actually the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to build 11 or 13 casinos of gambling in the state of Kentucky, but I want to allocate $2 million to start a project where we can deal with gambling disease, with gambling addiction. We're going to put something out there to addict somebody, then build a hospital to try to take care of somebody. I have never heard. Somebody said, I thought you was preaching. I am preaching. And I'm preaching the truth. And no lies are the truth. Now I'm telling you, these bunch of politicians these days, they're all feeding you a pack of lies. All their interest is your vote. You tell me somebody spend over $100 million to be president of the United States has got you on their mind. I'm going to tell you what they've got on their mind. Power, authority, prestige, position. Look at this. They're not going to help us a bit more than a billy goat. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God, I ain't heard none of them say what they're going to do. That's right, because they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Now, hope I didn't make nobody mad. One way I kind of hope I did. Here is the link now between these verses. When John said no lie is of the truth, he had in view the Antichrist or the seducers of souls who were propagating that which was flatly contrary to the gospel. In chapter number 18 and 19. They went out from us because they were not of us. And that is the link between them. They went out from us. They're Antichrist. He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. But ye! Oh, if I could preach that one again today. But ye have an unction. But ye have an anointing. But ye have an understanding. And you know all things. And need not that any man teach you. Because the Holy Ghost that dwells inside, amen, will confirm the truth in you and will confirm a lie that it told you.
Amen. Now, I'm just about to get there. I don't think there's, and there's no need, and I've already preached to you, but I'm going to preach them again. There's no need to go outside these first two chapters to find lies and liars. And they're liars, liars, and their pants are on fire.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what's going to be worse than that. Liar, liar, and your soul is on fire.
Amen.
That's what's worse.
Amen.
Have you got your Bibles open? Stay right with me. 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. There it is. And his word or his truth is not in us. Now that verse is in past tense. I wonder about, I've never seen this before. If we say that we have not sinned. Look into the past. And for alliteration's sake, here's what it is. They lie about eternal condemnation.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not sinned. I'm not a sinner. I don't really need to be saved. I'm pretty good, Joe. No, you're lost.
Amen.
Amen. You're wickeder than the devil himself. That's it. Hallelujah. If you say, I have not sinned, you make God a liar. Liar, liar. Your soul's going to be on fire. Unless you come to Christ and get saved.
Amen.
Amen and amen. May I say that is a very foolish statement. They're foolish. The Bible says in Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they be born speaking lies. Now boy, I'm going to tell you what. I shouldn't even have to elaborate on that. As soon as they be born, they go forth. What's the word say? Speaking lies. What are we talking about? Lies and liars and lies and truth. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. That's why that kid, when he squalls at midnight and you pick him up and he shuts up, liar, liar, his pants is on fire. There ain't a thing wrong with him except he wants mommy to pick him up. And if you'd carry him out behind the woodshed and give him a little backwoods education, it might teach him a few things. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't believe that. That's your problem. You don't believe the Bible. And I know I'm on here, but that Bible said, spare not the rod. It don't mean to beat them to death, but it does mean to crack them.
Amen.
They come out of the womb speaking a lie. If they don't get their way, they whine and cry like they are a little baby. But adults whine and cry the same way if they don't get what they want. And the reason they don't is because they don't want the truth. They're still in a lying stage of their life.
Amen.
We ought to be men and women enough, if we're wrong, to say we're wrong. And we ought to be big enough to apologize if we are wrong. If we know that. And we ought to be big enough that if we know we've said something that is not true, to ask somebody to forgive us for that.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. They're foolish. I have not sinned. Come on, give me a break. What did Jesus say when they had that woman that he committed adultery and called her in the very act? He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone at her. Now, don't tell me you didn't sin. If you tell me you didn't sin, I'm going to tell you something. You're still in sin.
Amen.
And if you're still in sin, you're lost.
Amen.
Foolish. Psalm 51:5 said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Shapen? Where? In my mother's womb.
Amen.
And in sin did my mother conceive me. He said he was shapen in iniquity. Amen. That means he was a sinner in the womb. That goes back a long way, boys. When you can pin it down that we were sinners in mama's womb,
That carries her back a whole long way. We cannot say, I have not sinned. If we were shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin, that makes us a sinner from a long time ago. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one solution to sin. That's Jesus. That's Calvary. Amen. That's the cross. That's the sacrifice. That's the blood. That's the love of God. That's fleeing to Christ and saying, yes, Lord, I have not only sinned, I am a sinner. Therefore, I cannot help myself. Thank God I need help. Guess what? I cried unto the Lord and He delivered me out of all my troubles. Amen. That, one of my troubles, I was a sinner and He delivered me. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. Now, they're not only foolish, they're fleshly. Somebody that says, I have not sinned, they're fleshly. The Bible said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. It's gone. Condemnation. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Well, I've not sinned. You're fleshly. You are not just lost, but you're fleshly on top of it.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. How many in here this morning is after the Spirit?
Amen.
To walk after Him don't mean to walk behind Him.
Amen.
It means to walk in His ways.
Amen.
He is called the Spirit of Truth. And He is no liar. And amen. And to walk after the Spirit is to walk in His way. His way of truth. Let me say very quickly, thirdly, they're faithless. They that say, I have not sinned is faithless. You can look in Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 2 where old Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Hey, faith opens the eyes to the past, present, and the future. He didn't have an ounce of faith. You know what he was saying? Well, I've not sinned. Why should I? Who is this Lord? I don't need a Lord. I can handle my life all by myself. God help us. Say, I'm telling you, you can't run your own affairs.
Amen.
People think they can run their own affairs, but you cannot run your own affairs. You'll make a mess out of it.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, the best way to do is let go and let God have His way and let God run your life.
Amen.
There's only one way to be happy in Jesus, and that's to trust and obey.
Amen.
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 Follow God and His ways. Now I want to say secondly, liar, liar, your pants is on fire. They lie about their cleanliness. The Bible said in chapter 1 and verse number 8, now He said first, if we say that we have not sinned in verse 10, I read that first, but I wanted to read it first because it goes all the way back. But in verse number 8 of chapter 1, He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is self-deception. If we say that we have no sin. I'm going to tell you, people's got the idea today that they got to go out and get drunk to sin. Or they got to commit adultery to sin. Oh, no. No. He talked about the body of sin being destroyed. Paul made this statement after he had been saved for a long time. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, I'm telling you, as long as you're in this body, you're carrying a body of sin around with you. Somebody said, prove that I will. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And I only know two men, Enoch and Elijah, that ever got out of this world in their body. And I've got news for you in the book of the Revelation. Even their body is going to die on this earth. They are the two witnesses. Are you listening to me? Come on in the house. Somebody help me now. Don't sit there like you're dead. Amen. That's right. Cleanliness. They don't want to be clean. I've got some things I want to say on that in just a minute. Peter said in Luke 5:8, when Peter was fishing, they made the draught. When Simon Peter come to land, When Simon Peter saw it was the Lord, he fell down at his feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man."
Amen.
He didn't say, "I used to be before I got saved under John the Baptist preaching." He said, "I am, present tense, a sinful man, already saved."
Amen.
Oh, no, we wouldn't admit that today. We wouldn't want people to know that we're sinners yet today. That we still sin in our life. I've heard them say, "Well, if you're going to sin, just go on out and do it and get it over with. You don't even have to go out. All you've got to do is set your two bony legs and feet on the floor in the morning. That's all. There's sin in these members. You going to tell me that you've never had a bad thought? Some of you have while I'm preaching. I wish they'd shut up. I wish we was home. I'd rather be somewhere else. I wish you had never been born. You little devil, I'll slap the daylights out of you. Well, did you hear about old Sister Sally? Wiggle jaws. Her jaws can wiggle almost as fast as mine can. What I'm saying is, he that says, if we say that we have no sin, present tense, we deceive ourselves, and the truth that makes us a liar is not in us. I want you to listen carefully. If you cannot see sin in your life, three things, and these is my things, you'll find, number one, no need of forgiveness, and you'll never find any need of confession. And I marvel at some of you in the number of times you've been on this altar.
Amen.
And some of you used to be on this altar frequently, but you're on this altar very, very little anymore.
Amen.
Makes me wonder, hey, people that know they're sinners, they have got sin to confess and sin to be forgiven of. And if you say that we have no sin, you deceive yourself. You're self-deceptive. You do it intentionally. That's right. And I'm telling you, you have no need of confession and no need of forgiveness. And buddy, we've got there in our Baptist churches. How long has it been since you heard somebody get on the altar and ask God to forgive them for something in their life? I'm talking about, we pray for Grandma who's got a broke toe and Uncle George's got a hamstring muscle pulled and this and that. And there's nothing wrong with praying with family members that are sick. I understand that. But when was the last time we really got on the altar and like that old publican beat on our chest and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinful man."
Amen.
Anybody listening to me this morning? There is no eradication of it. You will fight it to death.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. Getting older don't help much. The attacks become greater. And if you can't run with the footmen, God have mercy on you in the swelling of Jordan and with the horsemen. You won't make it. Somebody said, "Well, I don't need to confess it." Yes, you do. Confession keeps a clean heart. Confession keeps a clean spirit about us. Confession keeps a clean life. They're lying about cleanliness in their life. Now, listen carefully. And you'll fail your labors for Christ. You're not going to do much for Christ living in known sin.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, my position don't require much." But God requires a lot.
Amen.
You won't go very far in your service to God harboring sin.
Amen.
Only those that confess it and forsake it find mercy.
Amen.
Maybe that's why God's not promoted some of you now. When I first got saved and started living for the Lord and He began to deal with me about sin, And I had to start telling him about sin. They'd like to kill me. I thought, Lord, am I that bad?
Amen.
And I had to come to the conclusion, yes, and worse.
Amen.
He's only begun that work.
Amen.
He that hath begun a good work in you will continue it till the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I thought, my lens, can I be this sinful? And the Lord said, yes. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's been some sins in my life that I beg God to help me get over them. And I've never been able to get over them. You know how I had to get to victory? I couldn't give them up. So I had to ask Him to take them away.
Amen.
And what you can't give up, He will take away if you're sincere and honest about it. To clean up your life so you can serve Him. He didn't let those priests and those Levites live a filthy life down there around the tabernacle, buddy. I better hurry. Somebody's already quitting me. I want to say, number. Now you listen carefully to this. Unless you learn to confess your sin and get forgiveness, you will find no need to forgiveness. You will fail in your labors for Christ and you will fall deeper into sin. You'll just fall deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, further and further and further away from God. I wonder if that may not happen. What's happening here?
Amen.
That God has revealed things in our life we've not been willing to give up. God's revealed sin and we're not willing to confess it to Him and do our best to forsake it. Somebody said, oh, I've got on the altar. I'm just going to tell you all something. I love every one of you in here with all my heart. But you're not going to get on this altar and in 15 seconds get right with God. You're not going to do it.
Amen.
I was sitting in my bed, not for life. I was reading my nightly devotion, and I read one verse of Scripture. And the Lord said, that's you, buddy. It wasn't sin. He said, there's your problem, though. And God being my helper, I'm going to preach on that problem one of these days. As soon as I can line it out in my heart and get all the stuff together on paper where I can preach it, I'm going to preach it. God said that's where you're living. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at people that are just hurt and won't tell God about it. You'd be surprised at the people that's been hurt in their heart. Their feelings have been trodden upon. They've been offended by somebody. And there's pain, there's agony, there's misery, and yet you'll sit there on that pew and live with that misery rather than getting on an altar and asking God to forgive the other.
Amen.
I got to run. We lie about our communion with God. Chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Watch my text say, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And I'm here to tell you, if we say that we fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we're a liar. Liar, liar, your pants is on fire.
Amen.
An impossibility. Now I'm talking about when walking in darkness is not talking about sinners, but it's talking about that unconfessed sin I was just talking about. You'd be amazed at how much darkness. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid we've gotten used to the dark.
Amen.
And we've forgotten what the brilliance of His light will do in our Christian life. We've forgotten about the blessedness of His presence and the glory of His power.
Amen.
And the beauty of His holiness. We've forgotten all about that. And we've gotten used to the dark. And we've sat down in a dark corner.
Amen.
We're satisfied being there. And the reason it's dark, we're alone. He's the light of the world, and without Him, there is no light. Right. Question is, what are we going to do about this morning? What when our communion, when we're walking in this darkness and we lie and we're not in the truth, what does it do to us? Number one, our joy is suppressed. He said in verse chapter 1, verse number 4, these things write we unto you that your joy might be full.
Paul was in prison and had more joy than what we've got today.
Yep.
Sitting in this church building.
Yep.
That blows my mind.
Amen.
You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I don't understand things like that. How people can be so free from sin, be so in love with Jesus, living in, for what it's worth, the greatest world country God's ever made. Got more than any nation in the world has got. America's folks in poverty in some countries would be considered the rich. We gripe about it. God has blessed us.
Amen.
Not only that, He saved us.
Yep.
Rise up, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Thank God when everything goes bad. If the stars fall out of the sky, heaven itself chimes in around us. We can rejoice because our names are written in heaven. The devil attacks us. If Satan attacks us every wakening moment of the day and refuses to release the grip he has upon us, we can still rejoice. He may torment our flesh, but our soul is eternally secure. Woo! I'm about ready to have a running fit up on this mountain. Hallelujah. Now, not only is our joy suppressed, but our journey is slippery. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going too far without Him in this pathway, without finding some slippery steps. The Bible said in Psalm 17:5, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." If He is not present, you know where you'll slip? Off the path.
Amen.
Pretty simple deduction, ain't it? That journey will be pretty slippery. Touch and go. Touch and go without Him, I'm going to tell you. Without communion. I'm talking about without fellowshipping with Him. Without praying and reading our Bible. Being in contact with God. And coming to church and worshiping.
Amen.
If we'd have done what God wanted us to do this morning, I'd have never preached.
Yep.
I could feel it in the air in my soul. But we couldn't get her off the ground.
Amen.
Your joy will be suppressed, your journey will be slippery, and our judgment will not be sound. You cannot have sound judgment. Proverbs 29:26 says, Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. What about making decisions? Some of you are messed up in life because of decisions you've made. Decision, wrong decisions is wrong judgment. And you get wrong judgment because you didn't ask God about it. I know you're done. You have to tell me. John 7:24, the Lord said, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And no one can make correct judgments of life without the help and presence of the Lord. I remember when I wanted that van and that travel trailer, boy, to raise support in. He said, God sent them the request, but He gave leanness to their soul.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost said, "You can have that truck, that van, you can have that camper." He said, "You're going to be awful lean in your soul." I said, "Lord, I believe I'd rather keep You and have You than I would the van and the trailer."
Amen.
I'm about done. Then we lie about charity. Chapter 2 and verse 9, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now."
Amen.
You know what they're saying? "I love my brother," but they don't.
Amen.
He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. That in the light means he loves his brother. I could say he that says he loves his brother and really hates him is in darkness even until now. He's a liar.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, hey, we're to love unfeigned. That is, without hypocrisies. Lord, to love unashamedly. Are you ashamed to tell people you love the brotherhood? We ought to love unforgettable. We ought to forget those in our fellowship that we love. Can I? It's slow, so can I just kind of slip a barb in on you right here? We've got families in our church, and I'm fixing to skin some of you. You might as well hold your head up and take it like ladies and gentlemen. Because I'm fixing to do it right now. You can say about me whatever you want to say about me. But Kelly Vincent's grandmother died and had a funeral. There wasn't a member from this church there, nobody but Sister Hall and myself. Not even her family. That is not charity.
Amen.
Now, I said it. Well, it would have put me out of the way a little. You mean tell me you wouldn't go out of the way a little bit for somebody that you love?
Amen.
Be not deceived, church. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
I'm talking about loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Man that says he does, he's in darkness. He lies. He's a liar.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we lie about the commandments. Chapter 2 and verse 4. He said, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Boy, it's really got sober and slow.
Amen.
He is a liar. And the truth is not in him. That is, he is empty of the truth.
Amen.
And he is at enmity with God.
Amen.
And I wrote down this morning before I come over here, and I marvel at Brother Steve mentioned it in Sunday school. James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. James 1:22. So if we say that we love him and we do not keep his commandments, we're not doers of what we hear, then we lie. Yeah. Now, I want to say this and I'm closing here. When I first started studying in 1 John, here's what I thought. I said, Lord, man, he is the apostle of love, and we're going to float through this thing. Woo, it's going to be wonderful. But I soon learned that the first two chapters don't deal with love.
Amen.
The last three do. But the first two primarily deals with sin and lying and the Antichrist and apostates and deceivers. I never dreamed it was there. And I've read that book a number of times. Lord, help us to get to chapter 3. Because I'll be honest, preaching like I've had to preach through this, it's not all that wonderful to me to have to tell you some of the things that I have to tell you. But to be faithful to God, I've got to do that.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we can talk all we want to talk about that Bible.
Amen.
But if we don't put it into practice, the Bible said we're liars. And I'm closing here. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Let's stand together.